Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct and Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go to another little bit of good news. I like good news. It's rare enough, good news. There was a ruling by a three-judge panel in North Carolina. Just came down. It affirmed the right for about 56,000 convicted felons to vote. 56,000 convicted felons to vote as long as they had filled out their sentences, served their sentences, and were discharged from prison, and were not still in prison. This has ramifications around the country. It's not necessarily going to be binding, but remember in Florida, voters pushed through a constitutional referendum down there that said that convicted felons could vote when they got out of prison. The Republican Florida Supreme Court said, well, what they must have meant, you know, the minute a Republican judge goes, well, what they must have meant was that they not only had to be discharged from prison, but they also had to pay off their fines. Well, what happens is you get convicted of something and you get 5 years in prison. You get out, there's usually a fairly hefty fine, the court costs and all that. The people that went to prison made no money in prison. They usually come from backgrounds with no money and they never pay their fines. And it's just there on the books. So the Florida Supreme Court overturned the overwhelming will of the Florida people. And as a result, felons, despite the constitutional amendment, can't vote in Florida. Mike Bloomberg had a great idea. He came in, he said, I'll pay all the fines of everybody. And he could do it. He has a lot of money. I don't know if that ever went anywhere. They let him do it or whatever. But this is what's so ridiculous about this. Well, in North Carolina, they shut that down. And they said, no. Once they get out of prison, they can vote. You know, my view, frankly, is, so what? What if they're in prison? You know, first of all, not many of them are going to vote. It's hard to get anybody to vote. And if they did line up to vote, I would say the majority are Republicans. And the reason they're Republicans is many of them are in for white collar crimes, stealing money and committing fraud. And they're very likely Republicans. And those are the guys that will vote. So in a sense, this is a horse apiece. It's a wash. But the trivial number of votes, and I'll give you an example. You know, Waupun has a prison. Those prisoners are counted for purposes of redistricting. So they're counted for purposes of redistricting, but they can't vote. Why not let them vote? I'll take the chance that most of them are Republican. The truth is, it's down the middle. But it could have rehabilitative effects on these people. You know, they could be treated as human beings. And, you know, the reason this was all put in right after the Civil War in a lot of these states that felons can't vote is because many of them were African-Americans. And the reason they were African-Americans is they were picked up for virtually no offense or minor offenses, loitering, and then thrown in prison. And then they were felons and couldn't vote. It was a way to cut down an African-American vote is what it was. I mean, let's be real about this. But if you're going to count them as people for purposes of redistricting and then not let them vote, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So let them vote. And certainly let them vote once they get out, even if they can't pay, you know, $20,000 in court costs. And these guys never had $20,000 in their life, and they'll be lucky to find a job and even support themselves. So it's about time we took a much harder look at this. In North Carolina, they've struck a blow in the right way. It should, I hope, have some impact on people in Florida and everywhere else. The problem is that in Florida, it's had plenty of impact. Overwhelming number of people in a referendum said felons can vote. The Republican Supreme Court said, well, they must have meant something else. You know, that's not what you're doing in democracy. If there is a constitutional amendment, you don't go, well, they must have meant something else. How the hell do you know if they meant something else? Truth is, they didn't mean anything else. And what do? You put in another constitutional amendment with all the money that takes and the organization pain in the neck to say, well, we meant that even when they get out, they don't have to pay off whatever costs are out because we didn't say they did. But for anybody who's too dumb to read, you know, what kind of a resolution is that? What kind of a referendum? It's a bad one. some dissension in the Republican Party over the evacuation of interpreters, the people who helped us, among the Afghan population and their families, people who put their lives on the line for us, supported us over there in the war, and now are being hunted door to door by the Taliban, who lied about not taking retribution. There's a guy running for the Senate, named J.D. Vance in Ohio. That may be familiar with you. He wrote a book called Hillbilly Elegy. Everybody thought it was a great book, not a bad book. He also came across as a guy kind of level-headed, that much more Democratic instincts than Republican in the current climate. And then he did something very strange. He decided to run for the Senate from Ohio. And on the Democratic side, Tim Ryan is running. He is a congressman, good guy. I support Tim Ryan, excellent, being an excellent senator. So J.D. Vance decides to run as a Republican. Suddenly, out of the blue, says he's for Trump, and right down the line, he's even more Trump than Trump. Now, if you look at his public statements over the years, he has gone after Trump mercilessly, probably as much as I have. For him to just go full frontal Trump is disgusting. It's sort of like he was captured by the North Koreans, or, you know, during the Korean War, and beaten and tortured till he denounced himself. I mean, that's really what it is. It's degrading to see him. Well, he's attacked, in effect, the evacuation of even our interpreters over there. And he's trying to pander to a small base. And he goes, well, yeah, if we could be sure they were our interpreters, but, you know, maybe they're not. And there are all these other people and blah, blah, blah. He was attacked yesterday by Ben Sasse of Nebraska. Now, Ben Sasse is an interesting guy. He's a Republican. I do not support Ben Sasse. I will support a Democrat running against Ben Sasse in Nebraska. But the fact of the matter is, he is somebody who's a little bit independent. He has taken on Trump in the impeachment, taken on this whole notion of the Trump lie that the election in 2020 was somehow fraudulent. He's a lot like Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, and Adam Kinzinger. Not quite as strong, not quite as consistent, but he's out there, and Trump's attacked him. And his response to Trump, he's a young guy, his response to Trump is, why should we worship some dude? You know, some dude comes along and we're supposed to cult worship this guy. That's what he said. He's exactly right. And so far in Nebraska, apparently he's hung on. The statewide Nebraska party brought up a motion to censure him, and then that somehow died. And anyway, he's holding on. Anyway, he attacks J.D. Vance. He goes, J.D. Vance is, quote, lying to get attention. Lying to get attention. He's right. But you got to understand something. In the Senate, now J.D. Vance is not yet in the Senate, but if a senator calls another senator a liar, he is given a dressing down on the Senate floor. He has to apologize. They never call each other liars. In the House, they're not supposed to either. A couple of the right-wing Trump people have called people liars. But in the Senate, they don't do it. So for him to talk to a Senate candidate in his own party, calling him a liar, is very significant. J.D. Vance is a liar. He's come around full frontal Trump, even though before that he was not. So stay tuned. There is a rift much deeper than you think in the Republican Party. Going to a break. Lines still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.